actually, I think it was 3 years ago, I was a member of the Gilbert Leadership class. And our first assignment was a team building day that involved the high ropes course up in Prescott. And if you know me, I'm not a heights kind of guy. I don't really like going up high. I don't even like elevators. When I was down in Mexico, I was on the 22nd floor and the elevator was all glass. And every time I went up, it scared me to death. And then it makes sense. Like 3 weeks later, there was an earthquake, right? I mean, so I don't like heights. It's not my deal at all. But our first assignment is to get up on these ropes about 50 feet in the air and walk along these ropes. Well, the last obstacle of the day was this. Hey, Eric, climb up this really, 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 really tall pole, sit on this perch, latch in, let's run that video, latch into this cable, and then jump. And I'm like, what? This is crazy. There I am. I don't know why we have the gazelles in the background there. But that's from last week. It can remind you of the message. So I'm up there, right? I'm up there at least 10 minutes. This is a very abbreviated video, right? I'm up there 10 minutes, scared to death. They're saying it's going to be fine. Finally, I go. I figured the YMCA would not be letting people die every other week doing this kind of thing up in Prescott. So I finally let it go. And it was exciting. It was exciting and scary all at the same time. But I had to take that leap of faith, didn't I? I had to believe that cable was going to hold me and that I wasn't going to be the only guy who died on that trip. So I took the leap of faith. I'm glad I did. I really am, because it was exciting. It was a lot of fun. It was thrilling. And now I can say I've been there, I've done that, and I never have to do it again, because I can just show you the video. I'm brave. You just saw it, right? I'm brave. Okay. So the Lord is equipping us, His church, that's you and me, He's equipping us to live fearlessly and without regret. He is helping us to have eyes to see and hearts to engage in living outside of our bubble that the world wants to keep us in. The Lord's been helping us understand how to not just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk by faith. And so are you ready to continue our series that we call By Faith? Are you ready to continue through Hebrews chapter 11? Come on, are you ready? I need some feedback here. I mean, I just jumped off a big old pole, right? 3 years ago, but hey. So today, Abraham is going to take us higher. He's going to take us higher into living fearlessly by faith as we'll learn that faith believes God. And that's going to be the title of today's message. Faith believes God. But before we continue, I want to do what we did last week. And I want us to all verbally come into agreement with actually letting the Lord expand our faith. And so we're going to declare this together. Let's put it back up on the screen. All together now. You ready to do this? And we're going to do it like we mean it. You ready? Lord, teach me to live by faith. Let's say it again. Lord, teach me to live by faith. Amen. So the life of Abraham, it makes it clear that faith follows God. And that's going to be the first lesson that we have from the life of Abraham. We're diving right into it. Lesson number one, faith follows God. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Scripture says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went. In other words, he followed God, even though he did not know where he was going. Makes sense, right? Faith is being certain of what we don't see. And so he was told to go someplace he'd never seen, he'd never been. And what did he do? He obeyed and he went. Verse 9, by faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. That is a sacrifice right there. I'm telling you, as a guy, I'm not a tent guy. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He was looking eternally. Let me just say this, and y'all might not like to hear this because we live in America in 2017, but I want you to be sure of something, and that is that we're going to be called into the unseen, and we're going to be called into the uncomfortable. It's going to happen if you're a child of God. It's going to happen if you're on His team. He's going to call you out onto the field when you don't even feel equipped. He's going to call you to play a position maybe you've never played before. He's going to call you to run a play, catch a catch, pass a ball, something maybe that you've never done before. We're going to be called to go places we've never been, do things that we've never done before. And how many of you can say, amen, I'm living it out right now? Some of you are doing that. You're living out that reality today. And I want to go ahead and tell you this as your pastor who stands up here and you think, man, that guy, he may have it all figured out. That's the five of you who think that. The other, you know, whatever, hundreds think he's crazy. But listen, every single week, I'm being serious. Every week, God calls me into something that I've never done before. Calls me to do something I've never done before. He calls me to go someplace I've never been before. He opens up a door and he tells me to speak into a life I've never spoken into before. Every single week, I'm in that place of, okay, God, how do I do this? What do I say now? Every week. That's just what it looks like when we put ourselves out there and we live by faith. Jesus even shows us that this is what it looks like to follow Him. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were doing what they did every single day, and they were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So this guy walks up to them as they're just doing life, doing what they're familiar with. He says, leave it all, come follow me and do something you've never done before. In fact, I'm going to ask you and call you to do something that sounds crazy, to fish for men. What's that all about? I've never heard that before. Follow me and fish for men. At once, this is the crazy thing. At once, they left their nets and they followed Him. Immediately, they left the familiar. Immediately, they left what was comfortable. Immediately, they walked into the unseen, the unknown, the crazy even, and they followed Jesus. They didn't even know where they were going. And I'm here to tell you, God is still calling us, His disciples, to do that same thing. He is. He's calling us out of the normal and into His kingdom work that has eternal impact. And like His disciples, Jesus is calling us to leave the familiar, to leave the comfortable, to leave the safe, and to follow Him. And now check this out. He's calling us to follow Him into the mysterious, the dangerous, the supernatural, and the eternal plans of heaven. That's what Christ is calling every one of us, His disciples, into every single day, every single week. This is the kind of life that we're being led into as followers of Jesus. And now for some in the room, that's really exciting. I saw a few of you, your eyes were lighting up. You're thinking, come on, I love this. Woo, giddy up, right? You're all excited, but for the rest of you, you were scared to death. And I'm here to tell you, I'm kind of both and. I mean, I'm like so excited to be called into this mysterious, dangerous, supernatural kind of stuff that God has, but I'm also scared, man. I'm also scared, kind of like I was up on that tower, right? I mean, let's put it this way. When I got down and unstrapped from that, I had to check my pants. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was that scary, but it was also that exciting. It was both and. So if we choose to embrace faith, then we too are going to follow God into the unknown. And now some of you have heard my story. Some of you haven't. So those of you who have heard, bear with me. But in 2006, the Lord called me to follow Him into a place I'd never been. and into a calling I'd never done before. He called me to leave the familiar, to leave the comfortable of the business world, and to go into this thing called full-time ministry of being a pastor. My in-laws are here, mother-in-law, father-in-law, Jim and Carol. And I'm sure they were thinking, what is going on here? Eric, a pastor, that's crazy. Yeah, God's crazy, man, and he's funny, and he's awesome, and he's big, and he can do the impossible. But let me tell you what, when he called me into this, out of the familiar and the comfortable, it required that I leave some things behind. I remember one of the first things that God said to me when he was calling me was, you need to get your financial house in order. And I'm like, okay. And I knew what that meant really quickly because the Holy Spirit kind of lets us understand what God is saying to us, right? I knew what that meant. And believe me, within about 6 months, my income was 20% of what it was before that. So I had to leave some things behind. I had to sell some things. I had to walk away from some things. I had to change my priorities, change my pursuits, change my lifestyle, change how I spent my time. It meant that I would risk a whole lot, and a lot was going to change. But Jesus said, follow me. And when he says, follow me, I have to follow. I'm just that kind of guy. I made that decision on my living room floor, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago as I'm balling out. I finally decided, okay, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to go all in. I'm not going to mess around anymore. And so I look at it and I think, if Jesus is calling me someplace, if he's calling me into a room, a relationship, an opportunity, whatever it might be, he's calling me to speak into somebody's life, whoever it might be, then I got to go. I got to be part of this because I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me, and I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for other people. I mean, I just don't feel like I even have an option anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that my flesh doesn't fight against it. Oh, yeah. My flesh says no. But praise God. Praise God, the Spirit rises up and pushes me. You know, I like songs and all that, and so when I'm writing sermons, I think of songs. And those of you who are real U2 fans are going to know this one. They did a song back in the day called I Will Follow. And the lyrics in it go this way, and I'm not talking like U2, some kind of Christian band or anything, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But I love these lyrics. In this song, it says, walk away, walk away, walk away, walk away, I will follow. Walk away, walk away, walk away, walk away, I will follow. That's faith. Faith follows God. Faith sings that song, if you will. I will walk away. I'll walk away. Man, I'll walk away from whatever because I will follow. I will follow. So Abraham teaches us that faith follows God. But the reason that faith follows God is lesson number two that we're getting from Abraham's life. And that is that faith believes God. Because here's the deal, it takes belief to follow. It takes belief to follow. Let's continue, verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, he was enabled to become a father because he considered him God. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. In other words, he believed that God could and would do the impossible and give him a son. He believed it. And so from this one man, and he was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So Abraham shows us again the importance of belief. And we start to see in his life right here that our belief is only as big as our view of God. Now, you might remember that statement. That statement came months ago in a previous series as we were looking at the character of God. Our belief, our faith, our belief is only as big as our view of God. And so we discover here that Abraham had a big view of God, a huge view of God, and he followed. And because he followed, he received the promise from the big God that he believed and that he followed. So we got to do a little business with the Word of God. It's not just about learning a bunch of stuff, but it's about interacting with what God is saying to us as His people. So I'm going to ask you a question that I had the opportunity to ask myself this week. How big is your view of God? How big is your view of God? Do you believe He's trustworthy? I mean, really believe He's trustworthy? Do you believe He's good? Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you believe He's worth pursuing? Not just thinking about every once in a while or talking about, but actually pursuing. Is He worth pursuing? Worth giving up everything else for? Do you believe He can and will do the impossible? Like we heard about today, the testimony. There was cancer. We prayed. They couldn't find it. Come on now. Do you believe that God is the God of the impossible? That He is able to heal and even raise the dead today? Is He the same today as we read about here in His Word? Is He the same? Do we believe God? How big is your God? How big is He? Do you believe He'll fulfill His promises? Abraham believed. He believed. So what did Abraham do? He followed the Lord, and he was richly rewarded because he believed that God was faithful to fulfill His promises. Hebrews 11:12 again. And so, because Abraham believed, from this one man, and again, he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. What do we find here? God promised it. Abraham believed it. Abraham demonstrated his belief through obedience and actually jumping off that perch and believing God would catch him, right? Kind of like I did up in Prescott. And because he believed and he obeyed, he received the promises of God. So it kind of goes this way. Let's just look at God's perfect economy. Number one, God promises. Look at this. This is how it works. It's pretty simple. Little three steps we're going to look at. Number one, God promises. And here's the great thing about step number one. It shows us that it all starts with God, doesn't it? It doesn't start with us. We don't have to whoop it up. Faith starts with God. Our life in Christ, it all started with God. We love Him because He first loved us. We were lost until Christ. God promises, step number one. But then we look at what is step two? We believe. You see, we have a role to play in this. Abraham's life demonstrates that. Yes, God promises. It starts with God, but then we respond to the promise of God. And like Abraham, we believe, we obey, and we follow. That's faith. And then the third step in this little simple three-step process is that God fulfills. So again, it starts with God who makes the promise. We just respond to the promise, not out of our own strength. Again, not jumping through a bunch of hoops and working the promise to make the promise happen. No, because we discover all we do is believe, we follow, we obey, and God fulfills the promise. It starts with God, and it ends with God. It's fulfilled by God. It's fulfilled by God. But notice, we won't walk into step three. We won't walk into the fulfillment of the promise unless we do what? Believe. Believe. We won't live the promises of God. We won't enjoy the promises of God without belief. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Scripture says this. It says, but when we ask, how many of us ask? Oh, I hope so. But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. So again, let's process this a little bit with the Lord. Let's look at our own lives. Are you believing God? Faith follows God, but faith believes God. Are you believing God. And what I want to do is I just want to run through a couple scriptures that the Lord highlighted to me this week. And you can look at those scriptures and see how you process those in your own life. And you'll start getting an idea of your belief and your faith. And again, I get to do this all throughout the week. So I'm going to drag you along with me here a little bit. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And doesn't that sound good? So do you believe that? Where do you run when you're overwhelmed? What do you do when your life feels like it's falling apart? When you feel that burden, when you feel that weight and that pressure of life, where do you run? Do you run to God? I mean, do you really run to God? Or is the first thing you do, do you run to TV and say, you know what, I'm just worn out and I need a little veg time. I'm preaching to myself. Believe me, that is a struggle for me. That's a struggle. I have to say no. What I need is not zoning out in front of the television. What I need is getting into the presence of the living God who says that He will give me rest and He will give me all I need when I'm burdened, when I'm heavy laden, when I'm just feeling the pressure and the weight of the world all over me. Do you run to food? Some people run to food when they're stressed. That's my other one. I'm just being honest with my church family right now. It's a fight. What did I say earlier? It's a battle every single day. We're in the battle, right? We're in the battle. We got to say no to the counterfeits. We got to say no to the stuff that will not bring life. And we got to run to the one who says that He will give us rest. And He's the only one who will really give us rest. Do we believe the promise? Where do we go? To God or to that other stuff? One thing that I shared often, and that is that on Wednesdays, you know, I lead Wednesday night prayer. That's the prayer meeting that launched the church way back in the day, right? And I still am part of that, lead it. And I'm telling you, half the time I don't want to go because I'm weary, because I'm tired. It's the middle of the week. I'm exhausted, and I just want to stay at home. But I can't because I'm the pastor. And I also don't because literally every single time that I go to prayer, I leave different. I leave alive. I walk in weary and I leave full of life. I walk in feeling pressure and I walk out feeling release. I walk out feeling freedom. I mean, I'm so jazzed when I'm done with prayer. And you can ask my wife this. She comes home. She's ready to go to bed. I'm like, I'm ready to stay up and talk, man. I'm like alive now. Yeah, I mean, 2 hours ago, I was ready to go to bed. But I'm like, I'm raring to go. I'm just saying that God's promises are true. Where are we running when we're tired, when we're weary? What are you looking to give you rest and to refuel you and fill you? Here's another one. It's found in James 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Has anybody in this room ever been in trouble? I'm looking at you. I know a lot of you are in trouble right now, man. I'm saying it. Any of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? I'm hoping there's some happy people in the room too, right? If you're happy, let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And that prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. These are promises of God in His Word. His promises are true. Do we believe this? Where do we run when we're in trouble? Where do we run when we're happy? Where do we run when we're sick? Is the first place you go to the Lord? Is the first place you go to the prayer meeting? Is the first place you go to the front of the room after the service and ask the prayer ministers and elders to lay hands on you and pray for you? And is that where you're running? Or are you running first to other places, other things, other people? Do we believe God's promises? Abraham obeyed and he went because he believed the promise of God. He obeyed and he went. He believed and he received the promise of God. Psalm 100, verse 4. I love it. It declares, check this out. God's word actually promises us, and it declares that we enter the presence of the living God. I mean, we enter his presence. We get to spend time, real time, with the real living God. We get to enter his gates and directly into his courts. That's talking about closeness with God for real. We get to do that through what? Through praising him and giving him thanks. So I ask again, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Is that how you approach Sunday morning worship? Are you coming to church on Sunday going, I'm not going to miss one note. I'm not going to miss one opportunity because I understand this is the opportunity for me and my whole family to actually encounter the presence of God, and there's nothing else in the world that's like it, and there's nothing else that will satisfy. I'm not going to miss a moment of it. I'm running to the house of the Lord, to the place of praise and worship because I believe the promises of God, and I'm coming back next week, and I'm coming back the following week. I'm getting in his presence. I'm doing what he's told me to do. He promised. And I'm telling you, folks, it's the place of praise and worship. That is the one place that touches my heart where the presence of God comes on me so much that I actually start to weep. His promise is true. We will encounter his presence as we come humbly to that place of praising him and thanking him. We will encounter the living God, and he will move in your life in such a way. He'll break things off in such a way. He'll come on you in such a way that you will feel his love. It's a promise. Do you believe it? Are you following him into it? Charles Spurgeon doesn't pull any punches on this one. Let's throw that up on the screen here. He says, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt, meaning all the way. I recommend that you either believe God all the way or else not to believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There's no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation, because a faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry land faith and is not good for much. That's pretty direct. It's true. As we're studying Hebrews 11, we're realizing that. Man, these guys went all in, man. They didn't mess around. They didn't paddle around the edges. They dove in because they knew God was faithful. They believed. So they didn't paddle. They dove the deep water. So back to the example of that crazy tower that I swung off of. Let's go deep, like Spurgeon says, but also let's go high. Let's climb the tower. And let's take that leap of faith and let's really believe. God is trustworthy. So Abraham then is going to take us to another level. What's he already done? He's already showed us that faith follows God. And then he's just shown us that faith believes God. And the only way we can follow God is because we believe him. But then he takes us even deeper. Because that's what God likes to do. How many of you know that? He likes to keep moving you from glory to glory, transforming us in ever-increasing glory. I love it. I love it. Don't you love it when something falls off and you get to walk in freedom? That's what he's doing here. He's saying, look, you believe, you follow, but then faith sacrifices for God. It follows, it believes, and faith sacrifices for God. Verse 17, Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when tested by God, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So faith follows God. Faith believes God. And a faith that follows and believes doesn't hold anything back from God. That's what we're learning about here from Abraham. Doesn't hold anything back. There's no place that we won't let God go, and there's no thing that we won't surrender to Him. Let me say that again. This kind of faith has us saying that there's no place, God, that we won't let you go. We'll let you go everywhere and anywhere in our lives, and we will not hold anything back. God, you show it to me, I'll surrender it to you. That's faith. That's what it looks like to walk by faith, not just talk about faith, not just pray for faith, but actually to walk it out, to engage with faith. Nothing is off limits, God. Nothing is off limits. Do you pray that and mean it? Search me, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me, O God. Continue that work of sanctification in my life. Continue to pull the old off. God, show me. Because I know you give me the grace. You give me the grace to walk into freedom in every single area. I trust you. I know you. You are faithful, God. Nothing's off limits. Have your way with me. And then we actually do it. We walk it. That's faith. And I imagine we all have things that we've allowed to interfere with our devotion to the Lord. I'm raising my hand right now. There are things in my life that jump in the middle of me and my devotion to the Lord. We all have things that are getting in the way, that are messing around with us. What's getting your first? What's getting your best? What's getting your most in life? For Abraham, it appears as though it was his family, doesn't it? It appears as though it was the very blessing and promise that he'd received from the Lord. Can our families actually become an idol? And I'm going to go there. I prayed it through a lot this week, and I feel the release to just go there. Because God's word goes there, so we're going to go there. Can our families become an idol? Can our families actually become something that rob us of our devotion to the Lord, that robs God of our best? They can be. I mean, look at this. Do our children get our first, our best, and our most? I mean, let's be real. Do we drop everything for our kids, even our time with God? Now, here's one. Is our family calendar built around the kids' activities, or is it built around devotion to the Lord? I mean, I think that's probably one of the clearest pictures we can paint. We look at our calendar. Which appointments get priority? When there's a schedule conflict, what gets cut? What gets pushed aside? What gets moved? Time with God? Ministering to others, serving others. What gets moved? Does God get our first, or does He get our leftovers? I got kind of quiet this week too when I was processing this. I did. It appears as though Abraham was struggling with putting his children above the Lord, so God called Abraham out on it. And this is what the man of faith did. He responded to the Lord by faith, and he laid his son, the promise. He laid his son on the altar. What will you do? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Having our kids involved in activities and sports and theater and music, and it's not a bad thing. But if it gets to the place where it's keeping us, it's keeping them from the things of God, from worship, from prayer, from time with the Lord, then like Abraham, it's time to climb that mountain. It's time to go to the altar. It just is. It's not worth it, man. This is eternal. This is no joke. Two older sons now who've graduated from high school. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the story. And I want to tell you another story so you understand I process this stuff and I have to make decisions just like all of us do. First of all, I want to say this. I have two sons that were pretty stinking good at basketball. I mean, they were really good at basketball, all-stars, state all-stars and stuff. I mean, that good. But they're not playing basketball after high school. But I'll tell you one thing they're doing after high school. They're worshiping the Lord, and they're going to prayer meetings, and they're seeking His face. They're doing that. And that's eternal, man. I mean, that's not only eternal, that's just like after age 18 type stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the important thing. Is that what we're training our kids to do? Is that kind of the dream that we're showing them? Is that devotion to the Lord, that time with Him, that pursuit of Him? Or is it the ancillary stuff, the useless, ultimately, stuff that's out there? And it can be good for a moment, but what's best? What should be first? What should get our most? This past weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend before, Ben was asked to play on a club team for a tournament over in Avondale. It was a blessing to be invited to do that. You're like, wow, we don't have to pay. You know, come and play on our team. Don't pay. We need you. We want you on the team. The tournament Saturday and Sunday. So we told them, we said, man, that sounds great. Saturday's no problem, but we'll have to see what happens on Sunday. When are the games on Sunday? Well, we don't know. It's going to be based on what happens on Saturday. I said, great, man. We'll see what happens on Sunday. And if he can make it after church, then it's all going to work out. Because he's already got commitments, you know, at church for the weekend. Sure enough, 10 o'clock game in Avondale on Sunday. So what did Ben do? What did we do? We went to church. We worship the living God, and Ben's going to have plenty of time to play basketball, but we're not going to let that get in the way of time with the Lord and devotion to Him. I'm just saying, we got to make these decisions, parents. Where are we? What are we leading our kids to? And I want to say this, that the best legacy that we can leave our children is them knowing that God is number one and not them. I want that to sink in. I wanted to see if you really believe that. Go to the Lord on that. What are we leaving our kids? Do they know that in your life that God is number one and they're not? In fact, they're not even number two if you're married. They're not. They're not. Depending on what's for dinner tonight, they might be number three or four. I don't know. Anyway, that was. So the best thing we can do for our children is to model devotion to God through our actions, our speech, how we prioritize our time. That's what it looks like to live by faith. We learned it from the life of Noah last week. We're seeing it in the life of Abraham this week. This is faith. This is real life. This is the kind of stuff that gets written about in the Bible for all time. And this is the kind of stuff that God is calling us to. It's not just for them, the Hebrews 11 folks. This is a model for us. We have a roadmap of how to walk this out, and it's not difficult. It's three steps. It's simple faith. It's all really simple. We believe, we follow, and we lay it down for Him. And then check this out. And when we're willing to live this way, not withholding anything, God shows up. He releases His angels. He opens up heaven. His grace, His power gets poured out on a person walking by faith, following sacrificially and believing. I mean, the promises of the living God start to flow into that person's life. Genesis 22:12. What happens? Now, you got to check this out. What's going on here is Isaac's on the altar. The knife is about ready to go down. Abraham is following the Lord. He's obeying. He's willing to sacrifice it all for God. He knows God is trustworthy. He will go all the way for God. He's about ready to plunge that knife into his son's chest. And an angel from heaven shows up. This is what happens when we walk by faith. Literal angels of heaven will show up. I mean, boom. I want that. You want that? The angel shows up and says, do not lay a hand on the boy. Stop it. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear the Lord. Now I know, Abraham, that God is number one in your life, that you've processed this, that you've laid it all down. I get it now. I know it. So I've been sent from heaven to stop you from doing this and to pour out the immense blessings and promises that God has spoken over your life. It's all yours now. You man of faith, it's all yours now. Every sin, the stars, the sands, the nations, it's all yours. The promises, it's all yours. Because you follow, because you believe, because you sacrifice. It's in giving that we receive. It's in giving. So like Abraham, we too can walk by faith in this way. We can follow, we can believe, and we can sacrifice. So as we close, I want to give us time to do some important business with the Lord. I said it earlier in the message that we all have things in our lives that are interfering with our devotion to the Lord. We all have it. Let's just bow our heads. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would even just move in us and through us even right now. Holy Spirit, that you would begin to identify in our lives those things that are interfering. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal those things. Shine the light of heaven even right now on those things. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's some relationship on this earth. Maybe it's a child, a family. God, whatever it is, Lord, that you would reveal to us anything, even right now, that is interfering with our devotion, that you would show us, like you showed Abraham, what needs to be laid down on the altar and given to you, surrendered to you, God, because we are those people who desire to walk into your promises. God, we are those people who want to walk by faith, not just talk about it. We don't want to live like this world. We don't want to get the benefits of this world. We want to get the benefits of heaven, God. We want heaven to open up over our lives, over our families' lives, Lord God. We want to see angels ascending and descending on our behalf, Lord God, because we're walking in your promises. We're believing, we're following, we're obeying, we're sacrificing, and we're enjoying life with you now and forever. So I want to ask you, church, is there something in your life that's interfering? If there is, I want to invite you to do some business with God right now. Like Abraham, I want you to lay it down at the altar. And I just want to make available right now the front here for you to come. You can kneel before him. You can stand before him. You can cry. You can laugh. You can raise your hands, whatever you want to do, but come even right now and surrender that thing that the Holy Spirit has identified. Bring it before him right now. Lay it before him even right now, church. Let's do it.